In this session, we shall consider another type of CGT deferral relief, that being EIS reinvestment relief. You will have looked at the enterprise investment scheme from an income tax perspective when you studied the personal tax module. As you'll be aware, when an individual subscribes for shares in a qualifying EIS company, he receives income tax relief by way of a tax reducer at 20% of the amount subscribed. This is currently capped at £500,000, giving a maximum tax reducer of £100,000. In this session, we shall look at EIS from a capital gains tax perspective. If an individual sells an asset and reinvests the sale proceeds in acquiring qualifying EIS shares, he may claim EIS reinvestment relief. Like rollover relief and gift relief, EIS reinvestment relief allows the taxpayer to defer the capital gain to a later period in time. EIS reinvestment relief is more flexible than rollover relief and gift relief in that it allows the gain on any asset to be deferred, as long as the proceeds are reinvested in qualifying EIS shares. Rollover relief and gift relief only apply if the individual is disposing of a business asset. This means that any taxpayer, not just those in business, can take advantage of EIS reinvestment relief. Let us illustrate how EIS reinvestment relief works by running through an example. Here we have an individual who sells a non-business asset, such as a painting. He sells the painting for £200,000, realizing a capital gain of £80,000. He uses part of the money to subscribe for qualifying shares in an EIS company. The new shares cost £120,000. Because the taxpayer has sold an asset and has subscribed for new EIS shares, he can make an EIS reinvestment relief claim to defer all or part of the gain of £80,000. The amount of the gain that can be deferred is the lower of three amounts. The first is the gain itself. As the taxpayer has made a gain of £80,000, it makes sense that he can only defer a gain of up to £80,000. The EIS reinvestment relief claim cannot exceed the amount reinvested in the new shares. Here, the maximum claim is therefore the lower of £80,000 or £120,000, being £80,000. If the taxpayer wishes, he could claim a specific amount which is less than £80,000. The EIS reinvestment relief rules state that the investor must claim a specific amount of reinvestment relief which could be less than the maximum permitted. This will allow the taxpayer, for example, to take advantage of any unused annual exemption or capital losses. Note that the rollover relief or the gift relief rules do not permit the taxpayer to claim a specific amount. Rollover relief and gift relief are all or nothing reliefs and do not allow the claimant to restrict a claim to utilize annual exemptions, etc. Let us assume in this example that the taxpayer has already used his annual exemption, so he claims the maximum amount of EIS reinvestment relief, being £80,000. This reduces his gain to zero. The question is, what happens to this £80,000? The £80,000 of deferred gain is not rolled over against the base cost of the new EIS shares, but is frozen instead. Therefore, EIS reinvestment relief does not work in the same way as rollover relief, because the base cost of the replacement asset, i.e. the new EIS shares, remains the same. This frozen gain of £80,000 will crystallize and become chargeable in the year of what we call a chargeable event. We shall look at chargeable events on a later page, but the most common chargeable event is the sale of the EIS shares. You will see, therefore, that the way EIS reinvestment relief works is very similar to the way in which we give rollover relief when a taxpayer sells a business asset and replaces it with a depreciating asset. There are only two ways in which the revenue allow taxpayers to defer a capital gain. One is by rolling the gain against the base cost of another asset. The other is by freezing the gain until the happening of a later event. EIS reinvestment relief is given by way of freezing the deferred gain. As mentioned, the claimant must stipulate the amount of EIS reinvestment relief he wishes to take. Let us examine this in more detail. In the previous example, the taxpayer made a gain of £80,000 on the disposal of an asset. From this £80,000, we deducted EIS reinvestment relief to give no gain. If there had been a gain left, we would have deducted the annual exemption in order to arrive at the taxable gain, if any. EIS reinvestment relief is very flexible in that it enables taxpayers to specify a lower amount in the claim so as to utilize losses or annual exemptions. Assume in this example that the taxpayer had not made any other disposals in the year, so the annual exemption of £10,100 was still available. The objective of the taxpayer is to restrict his EIS reinvestment relief claim as far as possible without having to pay capital gains tax. We know that he has an annual exemption of £10,100. To bring his taxable gain down to zero, the gain must therefore be £10,100. The EIS reinvestment relief will therefore be the balancing figure, i.e. the difference between the gain of £80,000 and the gain before annual exemption of £10,100. Therefore, when the taxpayer is making his EIS claim, he will ask HMRC to give him relief of £69,900. This gain will be frozen until the taxpayer sells his EIS shares. By restricting the claim to £69,900, the taxpayer is reducing the amount of future CGT he will have to pay, and is also making sure that his annual exemption for 2010-11 does not go to waste. There are certain conditions to be satisfied before an individual can claim EIS reinvestment relief. Firstly, the investor must be UK resident at the time the gain was made and at the time of the reinvestment. The investor must be subscribing for shares in a qualifying EIS company. As we discussed in the personal tax module, a qualifying EIS company is broadly an unquoted company carrying on a qualifying trade wholly or mainly in the UK. The company must also satisfy other conditions, such as raising only a certain amount of share capital and using that money within 2 years. The shares issued to the investor must be new ordinary shares with no special rights to dividends, etc., and not redeemable within 3 years. There is a specific time window in which the investor must subscribe for his EIS shares. The reinvestment must be made within 12 months before or 36 months after the disposal of the original asset. As you will see, this 4-year time window is exactly the same reinvestment period as applies for rollover relief. The EIS reinvestment relief claim itself must be made no later than 4 years from the end of the tax year in which the qualifying EIS shares are issued. Therefore, for a claim in respect of shares issued in the tax year 2010-11, a claim must be made no later than the 5th of April 2015. You'll recall from the personal tax session that for an investor to obtain income tax relief on an EIS subscription, he must not be connected with the company. Employees and certain directors are connected with the company, as are individuals who own more than 30% of the shares. If the investor is connected with the company, no income tax relief will be available. This rule does not apply for EIS reinvestment relief for CGT purposes. Therefore, if an individual sells an asset and subscribes for shares in an EIS company, he will receive reinvestment relief regardless of his stake in the company. Therefore, a CGT deferral claim can be made even if the investor is an employee or director of the company or he holds 100% of the shares. Therefore, a taxpayer can sell an asset, set up his own qualifying EIS company in which he owns all of the shares, and make a claim to defer the capital gain. Whilst the revenue will give CGT deferral, in this instance no income tax relief is available because the taxpayer has more than 30% of the share capital.